is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to everybody for being tuned in and locked in all over North America. Happy Tuesday to you. The show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. And we have been able to discuss a lot over the past 2 hours. NFL cut day. Got some guys who are probably breathing a sigh of relief, having a little bit of a pizza party that they still got a job. Maybe Spencer Rattler's having a pizza party. Wasn't in danger of being cut, really, but he's the starting quarterback of the Saints. And you got guys like Hunter Renfrow from the Carolina Panthers. Well, couldn't even suit up for a regular season game. They said, no thanks. Last stop in the Carolinas was at Clemson. And we've talked about more than that. Hey, thank you so much to Russell Baxter for joining us, Sports Illustrated, pro football guru, coming by and talking all things NFL. Travis Kelce is getting married. Is it the end of the line for him? Shador made the Browns. Good for him. Deion Sanders, he talked about his replacement. Caden Salter will be the new starting quarterback for the Colorado Buffaloes as they start their season Friday against Georgia Tech. Everybody's waiting for noon. I can't wait to see Texas in the Ohio State University. Dave Portnoy, well, guess you'll have to watch from inside or outside. Aaron Rodgers said sorry to fans of the New York Jets. Speaking of Ohio State, Tony Gerdman is going to join us in about 20 minutes to talk Buckeyes. We got so much more to get into as the show continues on. If you want to be a part of it, you can call me, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM, channel 375, and a smart speaker. You got one of those? Ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. Hey, Ryan, I got this U.S. Open matchup on in the back. Coco Gauff, she fired her coach a couple days ago, even though she just won the French Open a couple months ago. At least she's winning this one for now, right?
It's not bad. It's early. 6-4, and now it's the second set, so I'm not worried about this at all. If Coco loses this match, this is the first round, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
That's when the alarms go off, the red flags go off.
Well, it's already an alarm. Like, they were just showing the side-by-side footage of Coco Gauff adjusting her grip. And it's like, well, damn, I guess if... she just won the French Open. Here we are at the U.S. Open. It's like the guy got fired. It's like, okay.
I guess expectations for certain players are 10 times higher than, I guess, the normal person.
She's still young, you know? How old is she even? What is she, 21, 20, something like that?
She's got to be over 20 now. But either way, I think
it's 21.
With how much money and popularity she brought in, there's just more expectations for her to win more. And wow. Kind of follow the steps of the Williams sisters. So I don't know if that's pressure on her, but
I think she's fine.
Yeah.
21 years old, she'll be fine. Just getting started, just getting warmed up. I mean, from the women's side of things, outside of, you know, Sabalenka, she can probably run this for the next several years. I think she's just getting warmed up. She hasn't proved every single year that she's really burst on into the scene in like 2018, 2019. So, and here she is. She's only 21 years old. So the world is her oyster. So we'll see what happens. Just damn. Win the French Open, fire the guy. I hope that's not a precedent for things to come. 888-710-4ISN. It's 888-710-4ISN. You know, sometimes you don't want to just go out there and switch things up. You know, sometimes you got to be patient throughout the course of things. So we'll see. She'll be fine unless she loses. Then things will really hit the toilet. But, yeah, she's up one set already. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, you know, before we get to Tony Gerdman, who's going to join us in a few minutes. Botcher, what's this deal? Last night we hear, and I thought the football game was the biggest situation. Okay, we're going to have the debut of Arch Manning as the full-time starter for Texas. You got Ohio State coming off of a championship. Basically got a brand new team. You got Julian Sand, who will be out there as the starting quarterback. But then the big story from last night is that Dave Portnoy, who's now been added to Fox's Big Noon Kickoff, they're banning him from being inside the stadium. And at first it was reported that Ohio State banned him. And then we got a report from Ohio State where they go, we didn't ban him. Fox said that he wasn't going to be inside broadcasting, but that he would only be outside. And so Ohio State is like, we didn't have anything to do with that. And then throughout the day, it started to read that it was a mutual decision between Ohio State and Fox. And anyone not familiar, Dave Portnoy is a Michigan alum. And so there would certainly be a reason that he would have a beef with Ohio State. He has certainly gone after them in the past. And so this might be one of those cases of James Dolan and Madison Square Garden. Hey, if you are nearly associated in any type of way, we ain't letting you in the building. And so, of course, Dave Portnoy had a response today, and he called bull. He basically said that, no, I don't care what Ohio State said. I was banned. Listen to this.
I don't want to create any issue, but then I look in the mirror. It's like, Dave, 20 years you've been doing Barstool. You just tell it how it is. And if this Ross Bjorken guy's going to be like, oh, we didn't ban him, even though Bobby Carpenter literally is like, yeah, no, they banned him. And we already had all our travel and all our production booked for this trip, and then suddenly it's canceled. And suddenly I this big relationship, I can't go in the field. I have no problem, Ross Bjorken, Ohio State.
And shout outs to Bobby Carpenter. We've had Bobby here on the show before. Bobby used to crack those skulls for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Dave Portnoy continued on. You wanted to know why they banned him? Because I guess things like this.
Listen, in Ohio State, people are eating it up because obviously when the story broke, everyone's like, oh my God, Ohio State is so soft. Michigan broke them. Woody Hayes is rolling around in his grave. If you can't beat them, ban them. Like, they're broken. It's a broken team, a broken school. Oh, national championship this, national championship that. One man this face, and they start crying. They're broken. Something I've been saying for a long time.
Okay, well, there you have it. I mean, if you're not going to be able to go inside, you might as well pour salt on the wound, right? You might recall, it was only, what, last month that we found out that Barstool Sports is now going to have one of these working production deals with Fox. And as a part of that, Dave Portnoy is scheduled to be on the Big Noon Kickoff show. He's going to be one of the panelists on the show, I guess, outside, unless, and we can expect this more than once, they're going to be out there covering the Ohio State University, which at that point, I guess he won't be allowed outside. He will just have to be inside. To me, who am I to say? I don't listen. I'm not a pregame show. I don't care. I don't need to see mascots and celebrities. I just want the football. I ain't sitting around watching anybody's kickoff show. I guess if you're live at the stadium, and I've been to plenty of these things, if you're at the stadium and you're on your way in, and you got people drinking and people eating, and you got a bunch of people that want to be drunk and be on television in the background screaming and yelling, then yeah, I guess a pregame show is for you. I barely want to hear the announcers during a sporting event. And so, hey, look, good on them for helping to promote the event. I'm sure we're going to have a few more people, even though this is a huge game in and of itself. We're going to have a few more people who tune in just to see what's the right word? Shenanigans take place. I don't know. Did Ohio State think that there'd be some type of gimmick on the inside of their gigantic horseshoe of a stadium? Did the Buckeyes think that putting Dave Portnoy in would lead to some type of, prank? I don't know. I remember there was a point in time when Yankee Stadium, the new one, was being built. There's a story about how a Red Sox fan, and I think it was, one of the construction workers working on Yankee Stadium was a Red Sox fan. They said he buried like a David Ortiz jersey somewhere in concrete. Bacha, do you recall that at all? Does that sound familiar?
Yes. I'm pretty sure this is a true story. There was a David Ortiz jersey buried somewhere.
Yeah, they put it behind home plate and then somebody dug it out or something like that when they found out. It's just like, I don't. What was Portnoy going to do inside?
Make more videos if Ohio State loses and laugh in the fans' faces, which would be deserved if they do lose for the fifth time.
Well, I think he might have done something worse. He could be more clever than that. So here's the deal. A Red Sox fan working on the new Yankee Stadium, he did. He buried a David Ortiz jersey in concrete in 2007 to curse the Yankees. People found out. The Yankees got the jersey outside. They did. They actually took the jersey and donated it to a children's cancer charity. They auctioned the jersey off for $175,000. Now that's a way to flip a negative to a positive. How about that?
Yeah, it's a great idea, but I can't really do anything with the Dave Portnoy situation here.
Oh, I'm not Bacha. I'm comparing the two.
I know.
I'm trying to highlight something positive, and you're like, the poor cancer jersey has nothing to do with Dave Portnoy. Well, thank you, Bacha.
No, but I'm saying that selling the jersey and somehow making it not embarrassing for your franchise that you physically dug up a stadium after you built it to get rid of something that has no effect on your team, that's petty. But the fact that they sold it and went to charities, that's good.
Yeah, what's petty?
Petty that they dug up the jersey from underneath the concrete or whatever it was.
How is that petty? How is it petty?
Look, it doesn't matter. Who would have cared? It would have been a cool little story that there's a jersey of the Red Sox buried under Yankee Stadium.
Well, they were able to get $180,000 of it to a cancer hospital. I think that's a pretty cool thing.
That's cool, but... If they left it, I don't think anyone would have been mad.
If you own something and somebody's doing a job and I'm paying you to do a job and you do something that you're not supposed to do, I think I'd be pretty ticked off about the fact. You know, that's just me. That's me.
When you put it that way.
Well, that's what it is.
Yeah.
If a guy is building your house, okay? And I don't know, maybe the guy who's helping to build your house lived next door before you. And he thought it was a great idea to bury, I don't know, a shoe. I don't know. The point is, the Yankees are paying a lot of money, billions of dollars to have this thing built. Like they're paying and employing a lot of construction workers to come through and build something. And you got one rogue guy who wants to be a jackass? I mean, just that's not cool. And so it might be a cool little jerk. Some guy walks to work and he's like, oh, I'm going to bury a jersey here. Nah, man, if I'm paying you to do a job, can you at minimum just simply do the job? And so you never know. Dave Portnoy is always out for a good show. He's good. He's doing a good job now promoting himself. That's one thing that this guy knows how to do. He knows how to push buttons. He knows how to promote the hell out of himself, which is why he is where he is at this point in life. So we'll see what happens. Even though he's not going to be inside, whether it's Ohio State, whether it's Fox, whether it's a mutual decision, whatever the hell it is, they don't want him inside. He won't be there. I'm sure he will find a way, as he always has, to make some money and garner some attention out of it. You know, only a barstool situation could take attention away from the actual game. The debut. The full-time debut, starter debut, no more Quinn Ewers, of Arch Manning. And I'll see what Saiyan has to do as well. Let's see how Ohio State bounces back after a championship. Matter of fact, when we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to have a chat with Tony Gerdman. Covers all things Buckeyes for the Buckeye Huddle He'll be here with us in 5 minutes. You're locked in. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. College football season is underway, but we probably have the biggest matchup getting us started this upcoming Saturday. The Ohio State Buckeyes taking on the Texas Longhorns. Man, we got storylines related to the game. We got young new quarterbacks. We got media members who can get in and out of the building. And to talk about it all and what we can expect from the champions now that things have changed just a little bit, joining us right now is someone who helps host the Buckeye Huddle. It is Tony Gerderman. Tony, how are you, man?
Doing well. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate the time. I mean, there's so many storylines here, especially after Ohio State coming off of the national championship. We know there's changes. It seems like one of the only constants might be Ryan Day and Jeremiah Smith. We got new coordinators all over the place. What can people really expect from the Buckeyes this season?
Well, I think you can expect to see plenty of talent. They'll still be one of the most talented teams in the nation. They do have two new coordinators, but those coordinators are, I don't know how much difference you'll see because Brian Hartline is calling plays, but Ryan Day is going to be right there with him. And Matt Patricia is the new defensive coordinator, and he's the only change on the defensive staff. So the defense will be similar. He'll add his flourishes. And I think one of the things Ryan Day keeps talking about is how young this team is. There's a lot of juniors, basically, who have been waiting their turn for a lot of seniors to leave. They finally left. So you've got some new starters, but guys that have played, I just don't know how many people know them yet. They know Jeremiah Smith, and they know Caleb Downs, and that's about it.
Yeah, when you think about the new quarterback, what helps separate Julian Sayin here from Keynotes to go ahead and take the job?
Yeah. Well, and keep in mind, last year, Julian Sayin was a true freshman, and he beat out Keynotes for the third-string job. Keynotes was a redshirt freshman last year. So, you know, he had already been able to kind of move past him, but there was a true quarterback competition. And throughout the entire thing, whenever anybody talks about Julian Sayin, they talk about how quick he gets the ball out, how he throws the ball, everything to do with how he throws the ball, how he understands the defenses that he's seeing, how he operates. And then when they would talk about Lincoln Keenholz, there's a lot of, he's a great athlete. You know, he can really do stuff with the ball. So it's that. You read between the lines and you kind of get an idea of, yeah, this looks like it's going to be Julian Sayin. And he was the runaway favorite. And then, of course, you know, he won the job because he's able to utilize the weapons around him better.
Well, Tony, when you think about the championship that they won last year, knocking off Notre Dame, Ryan Day, people are still going to look at him and go, hey, dude, are you going to go out there and beat Michigan? Does he get a little bit of a mulligan this year?
For the first 11 games, you know, that's about, and really, you know, Ohio State showed last year that, you know, you can lose to Michigan and still win a national championship. It used to be if you lose to Michigan, the rest of your season, like the possibilities of your season were gone as well. And that's no longer the case with the CFP.
Yes.
And what else you can do. But it's been 2019 since the last time Ohio State beat Michigan. And yes, to say the natives are restless, I mean, you heard all of the talk from the fans about, you know, fire Ryan Day, fire this, fire that, fire anything last year after that game. But I think he's shown that it's not a one game season, and there's an entire world that he's kind of existing in, and it's not just one game. However, you know, nobody wants to win that one more than he does. He'll tell you that. But I mean, you're going to see the same thing. Maybe not the same thing. You'll see some of the same things if Ohio State loses to Michigan this year. You know, last year was just so unexpected because it was at home, and I think maybe Ohio State thought that there was no chance they could lose, and I don't think that exists. I don't think that thought exists anymore, which should help them moving forward.
Tony Gerderman is here with us from the Buckeye Huddle. When you think about the start, and even so much the rivalry, just over the past 24 hours, we even see you know, Dave Portnoy has been inserted and being banned and being, what is this? Just to hype up the game, right? There's no big deal here. What is all this about?
The conspiracy theorists will tell you this is Fox trying to get ahead of the Lee Corso ratings on ESPN, trying to do something to take away from Lee Corso's last game day. But I think this ultimately was an instance where there were definitely people at Ohio State, boosters, who did not want Dave Portnoy in the stadium, and they made their feelings known before Fox told Ohio State, like, don't worry, he's not going to be in any of the stadiums in the Big Ten this year. He's not part of the inside the stadium of the last few minutes. And maybe if everybody had known that, there wouldn't have been this big brouhaha these last couple of days. And of course, that's exactly what Dave Portnoy wants, and it helps him, and it helps his brand, and it helps him tout his Michigan Wolverines. Certainly when Ohio State is like, well, we would, you know, there are definitely people that didn't want him around. And so he kind of wins on all fronts, basically.
Well, Tony, but when we actually get to the football inside, I've been anticipating just seeing what Arch Manning does. I was like, hey, let's get Quinn Ewers out of here. And so now we got number one rated Texas. So Ohio State is three coming off of a championship. What should we expect on the field? Because we know what Ohio State's going to do against Grambling of the next week. But if they end up losing this one, what type of implications is that for the Buckeyes?
You know, I think Steve Sarkisian said something yesterday that win or lose, the committee is going to like this game. Basically, you know, as long as it's not 59-0 or something like that. So they're in the committee's eyes, and really that's what a lot of this is about, you get credit for this game. And if you lose, that's fine. You probably get more credit losing 21-20 than you do beating Grambling 75-0, you know, something like that. With Ryan Day talking about it today, absolutely you want to win. They've been focused on it. They've been talking about it. I think the greatest thing that comes out of this game for Ohio State individually, and Texas probably as well, is you have a great understanding of where your team is after this game. Because everybody's going to be challenged. Every single player on the field is going to be challenged on every single play. So after this game, everybody's going to know who you can trust, who you can't quite trust yet. So I don't think a loss certainly doesn't knock anybody out. I think a win almost guarantees you're in the playoffs unless you find three games to lose the rest of the way out. But a win is huge. A loss, you still get credit for playing the game because there are so few of these games being played anymore.
And Tony Gerderman is joining us from the Buckeye Huddle. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Well, we know Ohio State, they are the champs. They won earlier this year. The last time we saw a team go out there and give us a repeat was the Bulldogs. We know that things have changed even in that short amount of time with NIL and transfer portal. What are the odds that the Buckeyes can go out here and go back-to-back?
Well, it's something they've never done. And you know, Ryan Day would love to win another championship, national championship, and then he would just, him and Woody Hayes would be it at Ohio State as head coaches that have won multiple national championships. Repeating has never been done. Ryan Day and the team do not talk, they don't talk about defending a national championship because they won it, so there's nothing to defend. That was last year. It's not like they can lose it by, you know, going 8-4 this year. That national championship stays. Even Caleb Downs and some of the team leaders that wanted, had them remove some of the memorabilia and the banners inside the facility because that was last year's team and the focus needs to be on this year's team. So I think they have as good a shot as anybody else. They've got, you know, they get Penn State at home, which is good. They still have to travel to Michigan, of course, but I'd say it's about matchups, but you know, Ohio State had some difficult matchups in the playoffs last year. So I'd say it's how well you're playing in December and January. And how healthy you are, because that's another thing that Ohio State did last year. They planned on, they slowed things down so that they weren't playing too many plays per game and basically putting like an extra game or two of snaps on their players. And so by the time they got to the playoffs, their skill positions were healthy and they were fresh. And I think you saw that in all four of those playoff games. So that's going to be something they try to do as well, because they just don't want to put too much wear and tear, because they're planning to play 16 or 17 games, and you can't win the national championship in the first 8 games, but you can lose it.
Well, let me ask you about this first game. You know, we talked about some of the names that, well, most of them that have moved on. Who are some other names that people should pay attention to on the Buckeyes that may not be known right now, but they're going to be some names in a few months?
Yeah, I think running back James Peoples, who's a sophomore from Texas, he was the number three guy behind Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins last year, but you only got to see him in blowouts, closing out games. So he's never played in a big game necessarily before and in big moments. And the expectations are very high for him, so he's somebody to watch. You know, defensively, Arvell Reese is a junior middle linebacker. He steps in for Cody Simon this year, and he played as a third linebacker last year, but stepping in as the middle linebacker this year at Ohio State, it's a premium position. And he and Sonny Styles, they check in about 6'4", 240 pounds each. So they are NFL sized, and they can move, and there's a lot that Matt Patricia is excited to do with them all over the field. So I think those are a couple of guys that people are going to know.
Right, we're going to find out sooner than later. I'm looking forward to this matchup on Saturday between Ohio State and Texas. Hey, Tony, thank you so much for joining us and lending your expertise with the Buckeyes. Where can people follow you and all of your work?
Yeah, you can find me at BuckeyeHuddle.com, and I'm on Twitter at Tony Gerdeman. And got a podcast called the Buckeye Weekly Podcast that you can find at all of your podcast platforms.
Oh, cool. Hey, Tony, great chat with you. Looking forward to catching you down the line, okay?
Anytime. Thanks. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Don't work too hard this weekend. Don't work too hard. Shout-outs to Tony Gerdeman for joining us from the Buckeye Huddle. It's crazy. There's so much going on with the football. There had to be something inserted with the media stuff. But, what do I know? By the time we get to Saturday, are we going to have some publicity stunt by Barstool? Or are we just going to be able to focus in on Arch? Look, I know when noon comes, I'm going to be paying attention to what the Longhorns do out in Columbus. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. You know what? When we come back from the other side of the break, let's hear a few words from Ryan Day. Let's hear what the coach of Ohio State has to say about this matchup. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And right now, it's time for a news flash with Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Tony Gerdeman for joining us from the BuckeyeHuddle.com. Yeah, I'm waiting for that matchup. We're going to hear from Ryan Day in a second. But I'm also going to tell you, pay close attention, about the Defensive Player of the Week. Brought to you by the Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. The Defensive Player of the Week is Edward Cabrera of the Miami Marlins. This man lit up my Atlanta Braves. 7 innings, 1 hit, 10 strikeouts. Cabrera, this ERA is now 3.3 on the year. The first line of defense is the guy going out there throwing that rock. It happens to be the starting pitcher. And then how about this? This is going to be pretty cool. Next hour, I'm going to tell you something cool about the Black College Football Hall of Fame. Oh, yeah, we got a game coming up this weekend that you need to pay attention to as well. Shout-outs to NHTSA. We'll get into that next hour. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. Thank you again to Tony Gerdeman for joining us on the Buckeye Huddle as we took a look at this matchup in this game between the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Texas Longhorns. This is a big game to go out here and start a season. And it's just pretty hilarious that even after winning a national championship last year, people looked at Ryan Day and said, "All right, bro, that's good. You won a national championship. Are you going to go out here and beat Michigan? Like, go ahead and check that box off. This is what we need. We need it. Put it in our veins." So it's a pretty cool storyline that you have the national champs. And then you got Arch Manning on the other side. He's ready to be elevated to ascend upon the throne of Manning. And we just have to see what happens next. And then, you know, outside of beating Michigan, I know there's a lot of people in Ohio State that are looking at the punishment levied against Michigan and just going, that's the best you got? But if you just won the national championship, I think the pain has to be lessened just a little bit. There's so much going on. This is what Ryan Day had to say about playing Texas to open up the season.
First off, I think it's great for college football playing a game like this opening weekend. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for Sark, for his coaching staff, for the players. And we're excited to play these guys. You know, it's rare that you would, you know, kind of play someone like this towards the end of the season and start the regular season with them. But here we are. And I think it's going to give us a great barometer coming out of the first game. But for us, as we've talked about before, the preparation starts really early because you got to be on point and we got to play a clean game. That's very, very important.
Yeah, you want to go out there and get the job done. Well, they gotta play a competitive game first. I already told you they got no disrespect. Shout outs to Grambling. They're gonna wax them the next week. And so it's one thing to watch week one. You wanna know what I'm not watching the week after that? I am not watching Ohio State take on Grambling. Botcher, you gonna sit down and watch that one?
The only way I'll see it is if they show highlights on another game.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm not watching that game. There's no way in hell I'm going to sit down and watch that. Complete waste of time. But one thing that they also have to prepare for before they get to Grambling is Arch. You know, Ryan Day's not stupid. He has to kiss the ring of Archie and Peyton, of Eli, eventually of Arch. Ryan Day says all the Mannings, I respect them.
I have the utmost respect for the Manning family. Starting with Archie, the dad, I think he's just an unbelievable ambassador for the game. And Eli and Peyton, I can't say enough about, you know, who they are as, again, ambassadors of the game, gentlemen, and obviously great players. And so, and certainly Arch is a tremendous player as well. But really, that has nothing to do with this game and you know, playing Texas. You know, he's an excellent player. But, you know, those guys, you know, they've stayed out of it for the most part because they want him to just, you know, write his own story. And I got a lot of respect for how they've handled that. And he's got a great future ahead of him, and he's a great player. So it's a great challenge for us.
Yeah, he had to go out there and kiss the ring. You better say something nice about the Mannings first. Otherwise, he just might go missing. Okay? You don't want that to happen. What about his own quarterback? Nobody cares about Julian Sand, right? People are like, what is he going to go out there and do? That's not Arch Manning. Ryan Day had a message to his own quarterback. Here it is.
The message is just win. Find a way to win. I think when you start setting expectations, you can get yourself out of whack. We're going to take it one play at a time. He's got a good group of guys around him. He's got a good defense. He's got good special teams, a good offensive line, good skill guys. He needs to lean into those players and find a way to win the game. You know, we'll try to get him into a rhythm. And then go from there, and that's really it. You know, it's a start. It's the first game, and you know, we're excited for him. You know, you're seeing him every day get more and more confident, more and more comfortable in what we're trying to do. But you know, we got to get out on the field and play, and it's about time.
Just knowing it's a start, knowing that Manning is a little bit more seasoned. I know they're going to be on the road. If I got to pick between a guy who I've never seen go out there and throw the rock versus Arch Manning, who basically he's been born and bred to do this, I'm going to go with Texas on the road on this one. I may not have Buckeye fans who are happy or want to go ahead and hear that, but how could I not have more confidence in this guy going out there and winning? Given the fact that Julian Sand he's never started anything. The guy's never thrown more than 15. He just got here last year. I don't know. Botcha, what do you say? You going with Texas or Ohio State?
The only thing I would say to counteract the fact that Sand is basically on experience is that Arch Manning really doesn't have any experience either. So it's these two non-seasoned quarterbacks going into perhaps the biggest game of the year besides the playoff for them. And I don't want to discredit the home field advantage of Ohio State. So I got to just go with the home favorite week one, but not to say that Arch Manning is going to be horrible. It's just I can't bet against the home team.
Well, home field advantage is one thing. But if you had to just say, just blindly, this is pretty much what we're all doing. Wouldn't you think that that Arch Manning would be a little bit more comfortable in the fourth quarter of this game?
I would say, depending on the score, if he's down two scores, he's going to be panicked. But if it's a tie game where he just has to game manage, I think he's preserved and calm enough.
I'm not talking about no game management. You're putting too many parameters around this here. If I need Julian Sain to go ahead and win the game at the end, to go down the field and win us the game, would you trust him knowing what you know, or would you trust Arch Manning?
I would trust Arch based off what I've seen.
That's it. Of course, neither one of these guys have been here through an entire season. Neither one of these guys have given you a full start. Arch played basically a mop-up duty last year and went out there when Quinn Ewers was hurt one time, played a powder puff school. We have not seen squat diddly from none of these guys. But one thing that I do know is, yeah, they're both inexperienced. But Arch has been around greatness. He has greatness in his family. That's not to knock Julian Sain. We're going to find out a whole hell of a lot real soon on Saturday. It's going to be cool if Julian Sain can go out there and say, oh, my God, I just beat Arch Manning. Or maybe Julian Sain has the approach of, I don't give a damn what this guy's last name is. Now, that in and of itself would be pretty awesome. But it just seems that Arch is unflappable. And if I have to think about what I've seen from Peyton, what I've seen from Eli, how they've composed themselves, if I have to think about how Arch, just in a general sense and communicating with the public, has behaved, I'm like, hey, this dude seems rather unflappable just in regards to, you know, what he says. He doesn't feel like he has to prove anything. Just go out there and play. I don't know. Arch could give us two touchdowns and two interceptions. Julian can give us the same. Let's find out what happens on Saturday. This is why I'm looking forward to it. Now, Botcher, they're not letting Portnoy in at all? Not even to just watch the game?
Nope, not in the stadium. I don't know if he's just not allowed to get a ticket, but he's not allowed on the field.
Damn, man. Well, I guess if you're banned for real. It's just like you can't come in.
It's not a ban, though. It's the Fox just not wanting him in on the field, according to Ohio State.
Well, okay. Well, he's not going to be allowed in the stadium. That's apparently what it is. He's not going to be allowed in the stadium. Look, it happens, right? Like, if you're a jerk, I mean, I hate to bring up more graphic recent examples, but all those guys who were throwing those green, objects at the WNBA games, those dudes, they've been banned. And when you've been banned, you can't come in. And so he can't go in. No, we won't see him. Just one big publicity stunt. And I'm sure if he did go in, he'd have something planned. Maybe not so much of his jersey as we discussed. I don't know. End of the game, plant a flag, a little too much, but you never know. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Jonah Tong. Hey, Botcher, you're a Mets fan, right?
Yes.
Is this guy, he's going to bust some ass out here?
I would say if his fastball translates, he's kind of similar to Tim Lincecum in the way he delivers the ball, where he goes over the top. Oh my God.
He's not as small as Tim Lincecum, is he?
I don't think so. He's tall. I think he's in the 6 foot range. So okay. He shouldn't have complete shoulder damage by year six or seven.
Tim Lincecum was what, 5'8", 5'9", throwing like that?
He was short, and that's partly why his arm basically got destroyed quickly, because that motion on your height does not last.
He was amazing, but he was also he's 5'11", but he threw he threw his whole body. Yeah, Jonah Tong is 6'1". Yeah, man, it's going to work out a little better than him, I hope.
Yeah, but either way, he's got the lowest ERA of all qualified minor league pitchers, most strikeouts and highest strikeout rate. So if it translates, it'll be a very good pitcher for the Mets. If not, it'll be another back-end starter.
Well, let's hope that this guy's... Well, I guess like we discussed earlier in the show, the way that Major League Baseball goes through pitchers, the way that they develop these guys, it's like, listen, dude, throw hard, get to the big leagues, and let's just figure everything out from there. You know, if you blow your arm out, guess what? We got another guy right behind you who also throws 100 miles per hour. It's like a factory at this point in time. It's like, let's get the pitcher, milk him for everything that we can get out of him, and let's just go out there and keep it moving. Damn. And is Verlander still out here trying to pitch?
He's
still
on the Giants. He's on the Giants. I don't know if he's injured, but yeah, he's not having a great year.
He's either in, every time I look, he's either injured or he sucks. One of the two. He's trying to get it together. A 4.6 ERA this year for Justin Verlander. Oh yeah, he pitched last Thursday. 4 innings, 7 earned runs. Ouch. He's lost 5 consecutive games. He is 1-10 this season. Ouch. Hey man, I think it's time to go hang out with your wife, okay? He's still married to what's her name?
Still with Kate Upton.
Yeah. He's still married to her. Listen, man, go hang out with your wife. Learn something, okay? The JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We come back from break. Speaking of wives, Travis Kelce, is he sticking around? Is he going to follow his wife around? It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Don't move.